I invite you to open your pew Bibles to Revelation 12, the back of your Bible, the last book, Revelation chapter 12. You'll find it on page 1223. If you're using the large print Bibles, it's on page 1925. Today's message is entitled, Hold to the Testimony of Jesus. And as often happens, it comes right from the scripture. Chapter 12, starting the first verse. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman, was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth, the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away from the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman, went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus, the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. All-knowing and most righteous Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out and never returning void. Lord, we pray, God, the Holy Spirit upon us as we examine your word here today. We know that without the Spirit of God, we cannot know what the scriptures mean at their truest level. So we ask for the blessing of that wisdom. And we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you desire to reveal. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is a mysterious text. And you may wonder why I would use it for a sermon in this Advent season. At first reading, you might think, what the devil is going on? Well, exactly right. The devil is a central player here, not only in the text, but in heaven and in our earth. That seems pretty clear, even at our first glance. How is it connected to the birth of Jesus? To answer that, you must understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. You must understand that Jesus' birth is his first coming. And you must understand that there is a second coming of Jesus. The Advent season is one of anticipation. We celebrate what God has already done and what God has promised to do. As a matter of fact, this scripture ties directly to Christmas Day. I happen to know a pastor who once preached this text on Christmas Eve. The child born to the woman was Jesus. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. What cannot be missed is that this is about conflict. More explicitly, an all-out cosmic clash. There was war in heaven. And then we're told that the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring here on earth. And even nature takes part in this cosmic conflict. The earth helped the woman. No doubt, there's at least one person here thinking, come on, Pastor Don, give it a rest. It's the Christmas season. We just want to hear about joy to the world and peace on earth. Well, first of all, it's not the Christmas season. It is the season of Advent. Christmas season starts on Christmas Day and then extends for 12 more days until Epiphany. This is Advent. Secular Christmas started shortly after Halloween and ramped up until Thanksgiving. Now it is at full speed ahead towards the culmination of consumer Christmas. Second of all, Christmas is about the Christ child, the Messiah and Savior. And if we need a Savior, that means we need saving. The natural question that follows is, saving from what? We need to be saved from the devil who is filled with fury. We need to be saved from the accusations of Satan. And we need to be saved from sin and death. Wait a second, Pastor. The text says they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You're right. I'm glad you're paying attention. There is a first death and there is a second death. There's the death of our mortal bodies. And for those whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is a second death in hell. Revelation 21, verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If reading and hearing this 12th chapter caused you to think of the garden account in Genesis, there's a good reason. We have the evil and crafty serpent deceiving Eve and the disappointing Adam. Almighty God establishes the framework of human history when he confronts our wayward parents. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, deceiving Eve, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now the word enmity means the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. We don't often use that word today. It seems weak compared to what we hear in the account of Revelation 12, although the crushing and the striking terminology is somewhat insightful. Of course, it is the baby Jesus that is the offspring that will bring victory. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. But at the same time, all faithful followers of Jesus are the rest of the woman's offspring. As noted in the 17th verse, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you and I individually are at war with the devil. What evidence can I offer? Well, let's start with an inward look. Do you battle against sin? Of course you do. Because if you don't, that means you surrendered to sin. The paradox is that the more victory over sin you have, the more you will realize how far we missed the mark of the Lord Jesus. Don't feel like I'm beating you up or condemning you, because I am not, for I rode the same boat. Our accuser, Satan, uses that tactic. He is the accuser. But I point you to the solution and to the retort to Satan. It's in the hymn we just sang. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Of course, it's the blood of the Lamb, right? Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let me point you to another hymn that proclaims the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when Satan accuses you, you just point him to Jesus. I am forgiven. I am protected and covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Satan, get behind me in the name of the Lord Jesus. For further evidence of Satan's war against humanity, look at the world. We have access to 24 hours a day news through television and radio and print media and the internet. What percentage of that is good news? We have COVID-19 and all the variants. There are wars and rumors of wars. We have so-called natural disasters like these terrible tornadoes that happened yesterday in Kentucky and Ohio and the neighboring states. And we are bombarded with news about political polarization, racism, and murder. Look up the stats for the increase in murder over the last couple of years. And crimes of greed and covetousness. And then we have our history books. One of those history books is our Bible, his story. The story of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does our Bible record the utter failure of the human race to live in accordance with God's will, we have a record of the cosmic conflict between good and evil, God and the devil. The Old Testament is the history of the chosen people, the nation of Israel. Even though God himself led them, they continually grumbled and groused. The prophets were sent to warn this wayward people, but they continued to worship idols and sin against each other and against God. Jesus was the promised Messiah, but when he came to his people would not receive him. Worse than that, they, in partnership with the pagan authorities, crucified the Savior of the world. We celebrate the cosmic conflict at Christmas. God the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, and she conceived the Lord Jesus. Angels of God visited Mary and Joseph, and even lowly shepherds were involved. Well, that seems kind of natural, seeing as the Lamb of God was involved, right? Luke 2, starting the 9th verse. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Underline that. All the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." The heavens opened to the presence of the heavenly hosts. By definition, that is a cosmic event. The great dragon, the devil, knew this too. He used King Herod, who sent his soldiers to kill all the male children under 2 years of age. While this brought great sorrow, it failed to kill Jesus, whose father Joseph was warned by another angel to flee to Egypt. Failing to kill Jesus, Satan tries to fool Jesus, which we read about in the temptation in the wilderness. And how did Jesus refute Satan? With the word of God. The scriptures also tell us that Satan played a part in Jesus' crucifixion. Remember that Satan entered into Judas, the betrayer. Let us not pass by the Garden of Gethsemane without noting a critical issue that is precisely pertinent to our subject matter. The Lord Jesus prayerfully wrestles with the Heavenly Father's pending plan for Jesus to lay down his life on the Calvary cross. He's praying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." God's decision was that Jesus would take upon himself the sin of the world and the commensurate wrath of the Father. Jesus paid for our sin once and for all. It's been paid for. It is finished. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, having established the evidence of a holy war, let me ask you, are you a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. This brings us to the twice mentioned security, which is emphasized in the closing of this chapter. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. We are the offspring that obeys God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. What does that mean? It means holding to all that Jesus taught. It means holding to all the scripture reveals about Jesus. This means holding to all that you have experienced of Jesus yourselves. If you are a follower of Christ, you have a personal testimony. You have been born from above. How did it happen? It is only testimony if you tell it. Do you? Will you hold to all three of these testimonies, even to the point of death? Jesus says we must if we wish to overcome. This concept of the testimony of Jesus in the Word of God is central to the book of Revelation and, in fact, to all of Scripture. But right now, I will limit my argument to the climax of our Bibles, the Apocalypse, the revelation of Jesus given in the book of the same name. We see it in the opening three verses of this book. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ which gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Soon, it's written 2,000 years ago. He made it known by sending his angels to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Six verses later, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones in which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We are called to overcome even to the point of death. My friends, the war is a reality. Being a Christian is to be bold as we hold to the testimony of Jesus. Charles Spurgeon preached, there is no victory if there is no battle. Paul exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 8, he declares that we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ever since, by faith, I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. My friends, today you have heard the testimony of Jesus, the Lamb of God promised in John chapter 14, verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because Jesus lives, you also will live. Will you hold fast to him? Amen and amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, that is our prayer. That through God the Holy Spirit, we will have the power and strength, endurance, the desire to hold fast to Jesus. When we look at this broken and dying world, may we have a heart for the lost. Might we just take that risk of discomfort to save a soul from eternity separated from the Creator? Will we, Lord? And when times of persecution come, are we willing to be a kernel of wheat that dies so that the harvest will be great. Give us a heart for the kingdom work. We know what the Lord Jesus did for us. May we lay down our lives for a brother or sister. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ became a man to be the Messiah, paid our penalty, and is now seated with you. And we thank you that he is coming again. Come, thou long expected Jesus. I pray this in his name, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.